All right, guys, good morning. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Genesis 37. We'll get a few scriptures here. Trevor, if you could get our main verse, Genesis 37, 19 to 22. Gabe, if you can get Deuteronomy 30, 19. Nathan, if you could get Mark 1, 17. Daniel, 1 Kings 18, 21. Let's see, Matthew, can you get Genesis 37, 21 to 22? Brian, can you read Genesis 37, 22 again? Freddie, can you get 1 Samuel 15, 22? Will, Genesis 37, 29 to 30? Let's see, Colby, Genesis 4, 7. And David Sanchez, Matthew 5, 37. And Anthony, can you get Matthew 10, 18 to 20? I want to begin by way of illustration. A woman named Mitzi Ann Weaver made a tragic decision. This Houston area licensed nurse was charged in the burning death of three people after she started a fire in her six-story office building, and she started the fire because she was behind on an audit for her plastic surgeon boss, and she feared being fired. She hoped that the fire would buy her more time, and obviously, her actions and her choices had unintended consequences. One of the unintended consequences as men of God is something we sometimes don't realize is the cost of delay. When we delay in doing right, that can have unintended consequences. And as men of God, obedience in doing the will of God, both in small choices and in large choices, will impact our destiny. And I want to do a very simple lesson this morning on the danger of delay. We're going to be looking at Genesis 37, 19 to 20. I encourage you to read the whole chapter in your own time, but for the sake of time this morning, let's just read that. Genesis 37, 19 to 22.
Then they said to one another, "Look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams." But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father."
Okay, the danger of delay. I want to look firstly with you at the reality of life. The foundation of life is that our lives are built upon the choices that we make. We made choices this morning to get out of bed and come to Serious Men, which was a good choice. But how many of you know choices determine who we are? Where you are in life this morning is a result of many of the choices that you have made up until this point. Choices also determine where you are going. You'll make decisions today. You'll make decisions on into your future that will guide and direct the kind of man that you're going to become. Also, choices will determine what we become. Like I said, choices you make today will affect your future. It will affect your destiny. And the question that every man has to ask, are the choices that I'm making today, do they bring me closer to the will of God, or do they take me further away? We all have the capacity to make those different choices in life that will either separate us from the will of God or bring us closer to our destiny. Also, God gives each of us an opportunity to obey Him. Even before salvation, God created us with a free will. We are free moral agents. That's the decisions, the opportunities, the choices we can make in life can either be good or bad. This begins from toddler age. You're either going to make good choices or you're going to make bad choices. We read this in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19.
"Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live."
So So the portion that I'm interested there is, therefore choose life. God gives you life and death. Here's your opportunity. You can choose either or. And God's preference, obviously, is that we choose life. And then also we have to understand God's opportunities that he gives us to obey him involves the calling of God. Many of you are here this morning because you have felt the call of God on your life and you want to preach the gospel someday. Some of you, you're not sure. But many men, you're here and you believe God spoke to you. God wants you to do his will. Mark 1:17.
Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people.
And so it would be pointless if Jesus went to the disciples and said, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And they said, okay, that's a great suggestion, Jesus. We're going to keep fishing for fish. So there's certain decisions as a man of God, as a called man of God, that you have to make, that maybe it's saying no to certain things. It's saying yes to certain things. I'm going to aim my life at the will of God. And foundational to this is, God, what you tell me to do, I will do it. And that is critical. And also, just in living a Christian life, truth is, whether or not you're called to preach, as a believer, you are expected to make right decisions. 1 Kings 18:21.
And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word.
I like how Elijah words that. How long will you falter between two opinions? You're leaning one way or the other. Just make up your mind. Make the decision. I'm going to obey God. And so there's some mistaken ideas about the choices that we make. The first mistaken idea is that the option to choose right will always be available to me. In other words, here's God's will. It's flowing. At any point in my life, I can choose. I'm just going to jump in. I'm going to do right. And that's the end of it. But in our story, Reuben, he delayed in making a right decision. So on one hand, yes, that was good. Guys, don't kill your brother. That's bad. Instead, why don't we just throw him in this pit? Because Reuben had every intention. I'm going to do right eventually. Maybe after the brothers leave. Now I'm going to go get Joseph, get him out of the pit, take him to dad. But there was a delay. In other words, Reuben, he thought, yeah, I'll come back to this. It's always going to be, Joseph isn't going anywhere. Once the brothers are gone, I don't have to bear the reproach. Now I'm going to do right. We read this in Genesis 37:21-22.
Whoever had that.
Now Reuben the eldest heard this and rescued him from their hands and said, let us not take his life. Reuben said to them, do not shed his blood, but instead throw him into the pit that is here in the wilderness and not lay a hand on him.
Yeah, and then it says that he might rescue him out of their hand to restore him to his father. And so the other brothers didn't know about this. They didn't know that was part of the equation. But that's what Reuben's intention was. But his thinking was that I can always do right. I can always jump back on. I can always get this right. And then the second mistaken idea about choices is that intention is more important than action. In other words, as long as I intend on doing right eventually, then God's totally cool with me. God tells you to do something. God gives you a command. Okay, God, I'll do that. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying not right now. And that's a mistaken idea. And then thirdly, the mistaken idea, failure to choose right does not ultimately affect who I am. The problem is when we stack those small choices of disobedience and saying no to God, and I'm going to do right eventually, the problem is this can lead to bigger issues in our lives. False thinking is that choices I make don't determine my destiny. The choices I make don't determine my future, but that's a lie. So let's look secondly then at the danger of delay. So we can deceive ourselves about what's in our own hearts. That is that partial obedience or right choices are the same as complete obedience. So in our story, we have positives and negatives, right? Reuben, you made a good choice. You said, I don't want Joseph to die. You stepped in. You told the brothers, don't shed his blood. But the negative part is that Reuben delayed in taking Joseph back to his father. The old saying, good is the enemy of the best. And we all have that ability to rationalize partial obedience. God, I'm going to choose to do right in this area, but I'm not quite ready to submit in other areas. And then the question can be then, is partial obedience to God really obedience at all? If we go halfway in obeying God, is that obedience? It's like if any of you have children and you tell them, I need you to go do something right now. And they say, okay. And they don't go and do it. And you say, why aren't you doing what I asked you to do? Well, I'm going to eventually when I feel like it. Is that obedience? Not really. Secondly, there's an outward appearance of right choices. We can feel that the outward appearance of right choices is better than an inward decision of obedience. It looks good. It looks noble. But Reuben, he stood up against his brothers that they wouldn't kill him, so they toss him in a pit instead. Why didn't Reuben just stand up to his brothers and say, no, I'm taking Joseph back to dad? That's the end of it. Because the outward appearance of right choices was better than inward obedience. So he compromised his character in order to keep his other brothers happy. Genesis 37:22.
And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father.
And so then thirdly, we can deceive ourselves that our relationship with God is something that it is not. And this is very practical. In any relationship in life, imagine the relationship you have with your spouse. She asks you to do something, and you're like, okay, I'll do it eventually. How many times can you say that to your wife before she wants to kill you? Probably a few times. And then she's like sharpening the knife, right? Honey, I'll get to it. So that's our relationship with our wife. How much more our relationship with God? God asks us to do something. God challenges maybe carnality or challenges a mindset or asks us to be obedient in a certain area of life. We say, okay, God, someday. I'll do that someday. Problem is that damages our relationship. And we deceive ourselves with partial obedience when God's desire is full surrender. 1 Samuel 15:22.
But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams.
So here's the contrast. The people of God, they're sacrificing. They've got that outward appearance thing going. But God is saying, what's more important to me is that you just obey me, that you just follow me, that you just do right. The other understanding we need to have when it comes to the danger of delay is that we influence and affect other people to make wrong choices when we delay. Number one, what can happen is it brings regret and shame to our lives, and it can also affect other people. Reuben, think about this. He had to live with the guilt of letting his own brother be sold into slavery. That would have been something that haunted him. I heard a man just recently, he's in his 60s, and he told me that when he was first saved, he felt called to preach. Various reasons, life moved on, and he did not pursue that calling, and he began to weep, and he said, I think about that every single day. So there's not a day that goes by that I don't wake up and I think about the calling that God had upon my life, and I chose not to. So think about that. It's for young men in here, you feel called to preach. It's like, yeah, that's kind of always going to be there. But if you fail to step through that door, you fail to actually move forward, that's going to be a source of regret and shame. Why didn't I just obey? Why didn't I just do it? And so this is regret and shame. Secondly, delayed obedience will not just harm you, it will affect other people. I see this, men that they seesaw back and forth on their calling. It's like they're picking petals off of a daisy. Am I called? Am I not called? Am I called? Am I not called? Whichever one it's going to be, but you're wavering. God called you, and it's like, I'm just not quite ready to step in. And then what can happen is their wives are fed up with the back and forth and they want nothing to do with the ministry. And so delay can affect other people around you. Thirdly, the tragedy in our story, Reuben delayed in doing right with the intention to save his brother, but later did not have that opportunity again. He couldn't, after his brother was sold into slavery, he couldn't come back to the pit and Joseph would just materialize. That opportunity was gone. And that's the danger sometimes when we delay. We may never get that opportunity. Again, Genesis 37, 29 to 30.
Later, Reuben returned to the cistern and found that Joseph was not in it. He tore his clothes, returned to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there, and I, where can I go?"
So, fourthly, we need to understand the damage that is done through delay. Think about all the people who were hurt by Reuben's decision to delay. Joseph was hurt, obviously. Jacob, his father, would have been hurt. He would have thought his son was dead. The whole family would have been hurt. Think about your calling. If we're delaying and doing right, there are people in other cities, other places that are waiting for you to obey God and stop delaying so that they can hear the gospel. There are people waiting for you. And that's a powerful thing about calling, is like right now, a city, a nation, there are those that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they need to hear it from you. But this is what delay can do. We can sometimes wait, and then the damage is done. So let's close then this morning. I want to look at some happy thoughts. Let's talk about choosing right. Here's the hope in a relationship with God, is you can make a decision to surrender. Reuben is an example of what not to do. But as men of God here in this place, we can all make the decision. God, maybe I've delayed in doing right. Maybe I've procrastinated. Maybe I haven't fully surrendered to your will. God, I'm going to change that this morning. And the hope this morning is that God will allow that. No matter where you're at in life, you can make a decision to surrender. This means God allows us to repent. That means to change our mind about our actions and behavior. I thank God many of you men here this morning are saved. You repented of your sins, but sometimes we need to do that again. I'm saved on my way to heaven, but God, there are areas of disobedience that I'm still struggling with that I need to commit to you. And so we need to recognize there's things that we've been doing, wrong choices we've been making. And when we surrender, God allows us to come back online with his will. Genesis 4, 7.
If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.
So God is speaking to Cain before he murders his brother. Cain had an opportunity to do what's right. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And so this is the point here. We can make a decision to surrender. In our story, we also see that God's purposes and plans were still accomplished in spite of Joseph's brothers. Joseph later on says, "You intended this for evil, but God intended it for good." So God was still able to work his will out. So maybe there's men here this morning, you've made choices of disobedience. You've said no to God's will. But God is so much smarter than we are. If we make the decision, "God, I haven't been doing right, but I want to come back online," God will allow us. And so God's invitation to you this morning is an invitation to surrender. Thirdly, we have to choose to say yes to God. This is not a matter of negotiation. This is not a contract. It's a surrender of ourselves. In the same way that you got saved, it's the same idea. "God, I give up my rights. I want to live for you. I want to serve you." Matthew 5, 37.
"Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil."
And so in choosing right, we are choosing, "God, I am going to surrender my will to you." Because oftentimes the way the will of God works and the way God speaks to men is he doesn't call you at one moment. He's never spoken to you before. "I want you to go into the uttermost parts of the world. I want you to go be a missionary somewhere in deepest, darkest Africa." Usually doesn't start like that. Usually God calls us to do small things. Are you going to obey me? Are you going to get out of bed in the morning and come to prayer? Are you going to read your Bible? Are you going to stop negotiating with me and just surrender? Are you going to witness? Are you going to be involved? It's those small areas of surrender. And then as you begin to build on that, God's able to entrust you with more. God's able to speak to you in larger areas. So then, finally, God will bless a life surrendered to His will. If you've delayed in doing right, that is a fixable problem. It's not the end of the world. God is still able to help you. God is still able to use you. We have to begin to make right choices again. And so, what has God been telling you to do this morning? Because no doubt you woke up this morning and it was like that nagging thing in the back of your head. I know God wants me to do that, but maybe just start there. Start with those small choices. Start with those small decisions. Secondly, let the focus of your life be obedience. There will never be a time in your life where God's like, all right, you kind of figured out this whole obedience thing. I'm not going to ask anything of you again. Pastor Greg has said, you know, his life and ministry has been going from one thing that terrifies him to another. That all starts with obedience. That starts with God saying, are you going to do this? I want you to go here. I want you to say this. And then his choice is, yes, I'm going to obey. We've heard it said before, the safest place for your life, the safest place for you to be in life is in the middle of God's will. Oh, but what's going to happen and how's it all going to work out? It doesn't matter. God, you called me here, so I'm going to obey you. I'm going to stop wavering. Matthew 10, 18 to 20.
You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. This will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you.
So God's promise is that supernatural enablement will come to men who are willing to surrender. Men who are willing to say yes to God. Thirdly, obedience to God brings men into their destiny. When we choose to obey God in every arena of life, God is able to trust us and guide us in His purposes. The greatest thrill of all of life is to be in the will of God, to be doing what God has called you to do, to know that the purpose of your life is being accomplished. And that can start this morning. That can start with men willing to obey. Anyway, that's all I have this morning. Got some time for some questions that triggers any thoughts, something you want to ask. I wonder this morning, before we get into that, since people are thinking, I want to pray for you this morning. If we could just bow our heads, feel the presence of God this morning. There's men here, you feel like, I've delayed for so long. How could God ever want to use me? But I want to tell you, I want to declare to you that we serve a merciful God. And there is hope this morning. If we as men of God are willing to say yes, are willing to stop delaying, then God is able to get involved. And that begins with the decision that in prayer, we're going to say, God, I surrender to you. So I want to help you to pray this morning. I want you to say after me, say, oh God in heaven, I thank you for your faithfulness to my life. I recognize areas of unsurrender. And right now, I repent for delaying. I repent from disobedience. And I'm asking this morning, you would help me to do your will. I choose to obey. I choose to say yes to whatever it is you're asking me to do. In Jesus' name. Let's give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. God, we do thank you this morning for salvation. God, we thank you this morning. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Okay, questions? Something that triggers this morning? Something you want to ask? Something you want to know? Yeah, Trevor in the back.
I was writing about it. You said Kingfisher is outward decision.
Is that at the beginning or the end?
Better than inward
obedience? It sounds familiar. First of all, wow. I'll give you the notes at the end.
Okay. But from what I got,
yeah.
You said that so in a moment where something of a noble stature, so let's say someone's taking me and decides, this is something that would affect me, and this is what I would do in that situation, right? Most people would be like, can't miss the right thing to do. If it's like, say, it's violent or it's mean or, you know, of something that you would say deem a noble path, you know? Like if someone were to cause you pain, you would cause them pain, right? Like obviously, right? Or would the righteous way to be obedient and not make the decision to be that mindset?
Yeah, well, what I said was that we deceive ourselves when we think that outward intentions right. are better than inward obedience. So the idea is that well, I'll say, yeah, I'm going to do right. Yeah, yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, it's yeah, God, I'm totally there. But we don't actually do it. We don't actually follow through. But we make ourselves feel a little bit better. It's like, well, I said yes to God. Yeah, but you didn't actually do anything, right? So maybe it could be we answered an altar call. Or we raised our hand when pastor said, if you feel called to preach, yeah, we raised our hand. But now, I can remember when I first felt called to preach, I went to Pastor Greg and I said, Pastor, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I feel called to preach, I want to give my life to that. You know what Pastor Greg told me was, that's great, man. Shook my hand and walked away. Because it was after that conversation, now the work begins. Now am I going to actually put some action to what I said, right? Because there's plenty of men that every 6 months, right after conference, I'm going to go tell pastor, yeah, I feel called. I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. But in the meantime, are you going to pray? Are you going to read your Bible? Are you going to be involved? Right? Well, that's the whole idea, is that obedience, it begins in the heart. Right. So God, I'm not just going to give lip service, but I'm going to actually obey.
Yeah. I guess that explains that part of it. But more or less what I was explaining was I'm trying to apply that to my life.
Sure.
I'm trying to avert from doing that same thing, but with everything. So if I'm trying to be a righteous person, I'm trying to walk in that path of mindset, if I say that I'm going to do something or do this, and I fail to come short, if it's a small situation, whether it be between people or between something that I'm trying to do, if I fail to be obedient, right, in that sense, I continue to go around it.
Yeah, I'm talking specifically in what God has called us to do. So sometimes if we are prone to be people pleasers, we say yes to everybody, and then it's like we get completely overwhelmed, and it's like, all these things are falling through, and I'm not able to make right on all these things. Well, the reality is sometimes you can overextend yourself. In what I'm talking about this morning is in small areas or large areas of what God has called us to do, are we going to say yes to Him? The hope is that in our relationship with God, if we haven't, then we can repent, we can do right. In a relationship with other people, I would say, number one, don't overextend yourself. Don't be afraid to tell people no. I mean, you can't be in six places at once, so if you overcommit yourself, then that's going to cause problems. But at the end of the day, be ready to communicate, open and willing to say, hey, look, I've got too much going on. Sorry, I'm not able to help. That might be a good route to go. But biggest thing is, what does God's word say? I'm going to follow that, right? Start there. Start small, right? Matt.
You think it's possible for men to be working in their Christian life and not even recognize that they are delaying in many ways and just kind of not see it or see the areas that they need to work on? I don't know if that's
I'm sure it's possible, but I don't know if that's going to be an area where God's like, nope, not going to help you. You don't see it yet. It's like, well, I don't see it. I don't know what I need to work on. Biggest thing is in a relationship with God, we can ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Where do I need help? And what areas of my life do I need to work on? Right? Sometimes it's an equipping. God, I don't feel like I'm ready for this. I need you to help me. I need you to equip me. But in other areas, it's a step of faith. It's stepping out and saying, you know, even if I don't feel comfortable with this, God, I know what you've called me to do. I'm just going to do it. Right? The biggest thing, if you don't know what areas to work on, ask your pastor, ask God, you know, God, if there be any wicked way in me, show me. Right? That's the hope, is we serve a God who wants us to grow, us to be refined. So it's a process. It takes time. Good question. Somebody else? Yeah, Nathan.
So if someone knows the will of God for their life and they're just in disobedience with God and they know they're disobeying, is that a salvation issue?
I think it definitely can be. It's like Pastor Greg, this similar question his last Sunday school. I think Dave Fink Jr. asked the question, if I know that I'm called to preach and then I don't do it, am I in disobedience to God and am I going to hell? Right? Sometimes we look at it as a heaven and hell issue. I think if men make the habit of constantly saying no to God, then that can definitely open the door to sin. That can definitely open the door to greater things that will jeopardize your salvation. And so, best course of action is just do right. Say yes to God. Because it's a scary thing. What if it fails? What if it doesn't work out? What if people are mean? What if people say mean things? It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, God, you spoke to me. This was your idea. I remember in pioneering, I said that to God a lot. God, this was not my idea. My idea was welding at Superior Industries. That was my idea. Building a nest egg, right? But God called me. And so, God, this was your idea. You planted me here. There are people here that you want me to meet. You want them to get saved in this city, right? And so that was, you know, for me, it was like, okay, God, this was your idea. I'm going to obey. That is the greatest thrill. Think about our fellowship. What a blessing our fellowship is. I see men before me. We are lay workers. That means we are common, ordinary folks. And we have the opportunity as men of God to reach the world. Like that is so unique. In the Christian world, unless you've been through seminary and you've got all this education and a charismatic personality and all these things going for you, but here, you feel God wants you to go and preach. You feel God wants you to do something for Him. This is a place where you can do that. What a privilege. And so, that is, what a blessing that is. Good question. Somebody else? Other questions or comments?
Comment off of what he said.
Yeah.
It definitely makes living life, or living a Christian life, very difficult. Very painful. It's very frustrating.
Right.
You know, just from personal experience, knowing the calling of God and not doing it, it made things very miserable.
Yeah.
You know, for me.
Yep.
Even though I have goals and other ambitions, when I would, you know, achieve them, get them, it would just be a little bit like sawdust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I can remember almost every 6 months Anthony would call me and lament how he wasn't doing the will of God, felt God wanted to use his life, and I would tell him, just do it, basically, and in a few other words too. But the blessing is that we can always do right. I think the same thing, we open the door. If our inclination is disobedience, then we open ourselves up to things happening in our lives that are painful. Sometimes God can use pain as a reminder. Sometimes we open the door to evil to affect our lives.
God allows us to, like, it just kind of allows us to look and say, like, hey, like, you know, I told you to do this, I'm doing
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you asked this question during a Sunday school that I did, but same kind of similar thing is it God's nature that every time we disobey that he's going to bring plagues and pain? I think those are sometimes natural repercussions for disobedience, but what are we going to learn from it? That's the whole point is, you know, every time we waver, every time we fall short a little bit, God's like, all right, bring in the hammer. That's not a healthy way to view God. If we think every bad thing in life that happens to us is God trying to teach us a lesson, probably that if we take that logic too far, there might be some truth in it, but if we paint with too broad of a brush, that can sometimes damage our view of God.
If there's something like specifically like we're asked to talk to God to do, then if there's a repercussion from that, that's like, oh, but it's not, hey, we ask him to do this.
I'm sure it's possible, yeah.
Yeah, but other than that, it's my natural repercussion. Like, I don't show up to work and get fired. Natural repercussion.
Sure.
If I receive a calling, I don't feel that there's much of a consequence.
Sure. Yeah. Every decision we make is a God decision, right? Do the choices I make today get me closer to the will of God or take me further away? Yeah, good question. Somebody else? Other questions? Yeah, Sean.
How do you create the balance? I mean, if you like, obviously, you know, life has a way of doing things that you don't foresee. And it seems like it puts in delays, you know, whether health or jobs or anything like that. It's like, God, I'm trying to do your will, I'm trying to obey you, but like I got, you know, house on fire, car broke down. Like, I'm trying to do your will, I'm trying to step into your, you know, destiny that you have for me. It's like, but here on earth, like, I have to eat, I have to be able to get to the location, I have to be able to do these things. Where's that balance at? Where condemnation, I guess, it feeling like you're delaying your calling.
Well, foundational for men of God is dominion. It's a right to rule. In other words, God, you have called me. I'm taking dominion. You know, if the prayer is God take dominion for me, that's inaccurate. God has already given us the authority. So authority over finances, authority over fruitfulness, authority over our health. Right? Dominion is right to rule. Like, no, I'm not going to be subjugated to every wave of life, every situation in life that would try and derail me. You know, the anatomy of a called man is like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to do the will of God. Nothing less than that. But if it's a health crisis, if it's a financial crisis, something happening and that derails you, and it's like you hit the reset button every single time, that's a strategy. Well, they're doing good, they're doing right, they're following the will of God. How about a little bit of pain? How about a little bit of financial crisis? Maybe the transmission falls out, whatever. Oh, now they're off the rails, they're not doing the will of God anymore. Right? That's a dominion issue. It's like, no, I'm not going to be tossed around like this. I rule. I'm going to rule over this situation. In whatever area of life, you know, that's something that as a man of God, you have to press through, you have to break through, right? Eli.
Sometimes when you respond and you obey, the results and the outflow of that is not immediate. Have you ever had to temper impatience in your personality? Do you have any advice for that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think in any situation in the will of God, there's a timing factor, but it doesn't change your overall approach in obeying God. So God told me to do this. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do it. I'm going to see it through, right? Because it's like Pastor Mitchell said, it's men, they're whiz bangs, right? It's they take off, they are on fire. They're doing great. And then it's like, let a little time go by. And it's like, why aren't they in prayer anymore? Why aren't they on outreach? Why aren't they involved? Why aren't they doing what they should? Why are they not reading the Bible? Right? Some of those foundational things that it's like, if you want to do the will of God, like I was thinking about this on my way in this morning, men here want to do the will of God, but they don't make the word of God a priority in their lives. It's like, what do you think you're going to be doing as a pastor? You're going to be preaching a lot. You're going to be reading the word of God a lot. If you have no appetite for that, that doesn't just magically come when you get announced on a Friday night, right? So if there's a delay, if there's you know, a hindrance or something, it doesn't change my overall approach. I'm going to wait. I'm going to obey God in the meantime. Maybe I don't have an answer right away, but God, I know what you told me to do. And until I receive further orders, I'm going to continue doing this, right? And that's a healthy approach in life.
I have an extremely rare condition, and well, what I say to me, no one understands it. You know, it's frankly but me, right? Let's say that, because it's my sin, right? So this is causing me to not have a relationship with God. If I fail to give that burden to God, right, but still have faith, will that affect my delay by having an inward failure of obedience, right? Will that affect my delay? Because I'm failing to give my burden to God, right? So I'm not having full faith in Him.
Well, I think if God is trying to show you something, it's to help you.
Right.
If God is pointing that out, it's for your benefit. And so there's certain things as a man, if we hold on to certain things, it's very unhealthy in the long term. And that will affect your relationship with God. Like you said, it'll affect your relationship with other people. But it's in your best interest to surrender certain things to God, because He wants to help you. He wants to help you overcome. That's the hope of salvation, is that I don't want to be the same man that I used to be. God, I want you to change me. I want you to help me to grow. And as a new believer, it's like there's certain things in me that need to change. God, you need to help me to release it. Help me to let go of that. And God will. You know, that's one of the things. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Right. What does Pastor Greg said? Two foundations in life is my Heavenly Father loves me, and He's smarter than I am. And so if we can hold on to those two foundations, it's like, yeah, but God loves me. Yeah, maybe people have opinions, whatever, but my Heavenly Father loves me very much. He likes me. He wants a relationship with me. And so that's something that can set us free. Yeah. Just keep serving God. Anybody else? Other questions? Thinking.
Going off of what Sean had said, you know, what does that look like in the practical when you, maybe you're not necessarily every single time you have a hiccup in life, you're resetting, you're hitting the reset button, but you literally can't get out of bed, you're sick, or you're doing whatever, you know, and
sure.
So when you have that dominion, what does that look like in the natural, you know? So, like, how do you just say, okay, I'm having dominion, I no longer have this financial issue, you know, this is not acceptable. What, besides saying that in your mind, what else, how does that play out, you know, in that struggle?
Issues can be wide and varying, but let's take finances, for example. If your job requires you to be on site at 5 in the morning and work until 8 o'clock at night, and it's barely enough to survive, so obviously if I'm going to do the will of God, I can't have a job like that and develop as a man of God, because your work is all-consuming. So the God of the universe, is He smart enough and able to open the door to a job that will allow me to be in prayer in the morning, be involved on outreach, and continue to build as a disciple? God's able to provide all those things. But dominion is something that steps through that door. And so you say, how does it work out practically? It's not wishful thinking, but it's, you know what? God, here's my financial situation. Here's the job that I'm working. I need you to open a door for me. I need you to direct my paths. Give me wisdom so that I can do your will. Because if God called us to preach the gospel, for instance, if God called us to do his will, then wouldn't God be able to facilitate opportunities for that to actually happen? And so dominion is, God, this is what your word says. This is what your word says. This is what I'm experiencing. They're incompatible. God, I want to experience what your word says. And so part of that is, it can be stepping out in faith, saying, no, this job is not going to work. God, I'm going to trust you with my finances. I'm going to pursue another means of employment. And it's trusting, and that's the miracle dimension of God, is he's able to open doors. But we have to recognize it. We'll have as much of God as we ask for. And so that's a critical dimension. It's like, this isn't working. Obviously, this is taking me further away from the will of God. So why am I continuing to do this? So you have to analyze that. Pastor Greg has said, we have to be analyzers. How is this working so far? Is this helping or hindering? Right? So that's some of those foundations. That's what dominion is. And so working that out practically, you have to push through that. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's an open door. Sometimes it's a step of faith. But God has a voice. He can speak to us. He can tell us what to do. But that requires us to ask. Because it's kind of scary. Sometimes there's a fear element to it. If I step out, how is this all going to work out? I don't know, but I know God loves me, and I know God is able to provide. So, anybody else? No questions. Okay. Thank you, guys.